The Lord be with you.
With
you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Jesus told his disciples this parable. The reign of God is like the case of the owner of an estate who went out at dawn to hire workmen for his vineyard. After reaching an agreement with them for the usual daily wage, he sent them out to his vineyard. And he came again about mid-morning, and he saw other men standing around the marketplace without work. So he said to them, "You too go along to my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is fair." At that, they went to the vineyard. He came out again around noon and mid-afternoon and did the same, and finally going out in late afternoon, he found still others standing around. And to these he said, "Why have you been standing here idle all day?" "No one has hired us," they told him. He said, "You too go into my vineyard." And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workmen and give them their pay, and begin with the last group and end with the first." When those hired late in the afternoon came up, they received the full day's pay. And when the first group appeared, they supposed they would get more, yet they received the same daily wage. Thereupon, they complained to the owner, "This last group did only an hour's work. But you have put them on the same basis as us, who have worked a full day in the scorching heat." "My friend," he said, "I do you no injustice. You agreed on a daily wage, did you not? Take your pay and go home. I intend to give this man who was hired last the same pay as you. I am free to do as I please with my money, am I not? Or are you envious because I am generous? Thus the last shall be first, and the first shall be last." The Gospel of the Lord. The last shall be first, and the first shall be last. It's a constant gospel principle, but we have a hard time learning it, right? You agree?
Yes.
Sure do. There are a few ways of learning it. Try following a football team in the SEC. That'll help. But then there are other ways that are much more valuable, not being dependent on that. And that is looking really carefully at what it is Jesus is saying and doing. This is really, really powerful. Your initial gut reaction might be, what? Pardon? It's not fair, right? It's not fair. No, it's not fair. That's my initial reaction. And you know what it's based on? My daddy told me, nobody gives you anything for free. He said, there is nothing for free. And he said, you only get, you know, what you work for, and you got to pull yourself up. And life rewards only what you do and what you're willing to do in terms of stretching yourself and in terms of pushing on forward. Nobody is going to give you anything. And so I read the gospel, and man, it's in real conflict with that. But it is because I don't understand the gospel. I read it on a surface level, and I get a gut reaction, and then I keep on trucking and do the same anyway. Right? I do. How interesting. Last week we talked about, remember? Well, I talked and you listened. We talked about traffic, said that you're not stuck in traffic, you are traffic. You're not stuck in life, you are life. You're not stuck in this Catholic Church, you are this Catholic Church. You're not stuck in politics, you are a part of the reality of all of the politics. You're not stuck in the ecology in terms of our society, you are a part of that. We love to extricate and separate ourselves. Well, it's them, it's them. No, it's not, it's me. And it's his invitation to me, and that's where this is really powerful. But maybe taking a look at that first reading that Holly read, how beautiful, from the prophet Isaiah. What does it say? It says, how high are his ways above my ways? Man, that's a good question. How high? I really don't know exactly, but I do know for sure they are so much higher. His ways much higher than my ways, and what he wants, and that's this parable. This anchors this parable beautifully. His ways. Ah, there's something to behold, his ways. And so it sets the stage for this parable that appears initially to be unfair, unjust, and all of the other things. And it's totally contrary to the things my daddy told me, and hey, some of my teachers told me, and a whole lot of other people told me. It just does not fit with my educational experience. So what's going on? I mean, Jesus is not out to lunch. There's a whole lot deeper going on. And so it's worthwhile looking at this parable. Let me tell you something. Yesterday I buried a man, pretty extraordinary man. Never before happened in my life. He's an extraordinary man of faith. Many of you knew him here. He joined our parish a number of years back when he and his wife, his second wife, moved over to Crossgates. He loved coming here. He loved the church. He grew up here in Jackson and went to Central High. And pretty awesome individual. But he's the only man that I've done a funeral service for where four of his children preceded him in death. Four of his children. He has two living children, a son and a daughter. Dunlap Peoples, pretty extraordinary gentleman. And every time I saw him, he had a smile on his face. And I used to ask him oftentimes, how do you do it? And the mother of his six children, she died. And then he found another lady whom he was delighted with, Shirley, and they both moved here together and settled in. And then they went through that transition, and he was doing it for Shirley, he told me, because we need to move out of the house. They had a lovely home up in Crossgates. And then it was time to move in because the early movement of dementia for his wife, Shirley, and going to move into St. Catherine's, and they did, and another big transition, and it was sort of like, took it in stride. He knew so much about life. He never saw these experiences in his life as being sent by God, or that God was trying to punish him or teach him or anything like that. He said, these are the realities of life. They're the harsh realities of the freedom that he has given us in life. And some of the consequences of that great freedom. Death is one of those consequences whenever it comes, whatever age, whatever time, and however it comes. It's one of the consequences of the freedom that God has given us. A hard one. But he knew it and he understood it. And you'd see him smiling here when he came. And he loved to get up and read and proclaim the word of God as well. Extraordinary man. Man, I'm worried about, you know, things. Nothing like that. Worry about linens and cloths and, man, you know, who's going to do this and this and this and this, man, absolutely peripheral stuff. He knew life and embraced it with faith. Pretty extraordinary. There are people like that living among us all of the time. But I'd never had quite that experience where somebody was preceded in death by four children, two wives. And only last week, you know, he was still comfortable about all of this when I prayed with him and anointed him and commended him to the Lord and absolutely comfortable about where he was going. What a great experience. He understood this gospel. It wasn't something peripheral. So what is going on in this gospel? Let's take a look. Well, you could learn, yeah, through the SEC and humbling experiences. That's not the best way. Best way is looking really seriously at what's happening here. This gospel, what it is not, it's not an unfair story about justice and fairness. It is not Jesus favoring the idler at the expense of the worker. We like to use that excuse. Absolutely. Not at all. Not even remotely close. It's not about cheating or deceiving anybody. It's not about everybody getting what he or she deserves. Thank God. If I got what I deserved, man, I would be missing a ton of blessings that I know in my life. Totally undeserved, totally unearned, the blessings he has given me. Family and friends and experience and the gospel and growing and learning and, hey, being humbled. Not what we deserve. It's about what he wants to give me. It's not about merit and the system of meritocracy that we are so attached to. We love it. We love the system of meritocracy. You earned it. You deserve it. Hey, my dad told me all about it growing up. My teachers told me all about it. It skewed my perspective. Because I learned it only in separation from the gospel is meant to absolutely embrace and overarch all of those things that I learn and then bring out a fulfillment of that reality. Separated from the gospel, neither of them makes sense. It's not about meritocracy. Earning and meriting and that God owes me or I deserve anything. It's the pure benevolence of my God. It's very humbling. It's not about getting ahead of the other person and it's not about getting what I want. But it's about getting what God wants for me. It's about getting what I need. God is in the business of giving me not what I want, but what I need. He's very good at it. But I'm not very good and patient at hearing that. It's not about this life, but it's about the coming kingdom. The fortunes will be reversed. The first will be last, and the last will be first. And hey, those who have served and who have humbled themselves will be inheriting the kingdom. Not anything like this life. Not anything like it. That's why the parable is so disturbing. But let me tell you what it is about. It's about a parable that he addresses very specifically to a group of people. They are called the Pharisees and the lawyers. The people who told everybody else how to do it. And in a very judgmental fashion. The legalistically minded men, and they were critical of Jesus because he was befriending sinners and outcasts. They were infuriated at him for doing that. And what does Jesus do? Wow, you talk about the grace of responding. He had a grace in responding that is just humbling. What did he do? He didn't attack them back as I would like to do and tell them what their problem is and tell them what's wrong with them. He had already addressed them pretty clearly. Remember he said 2 weeks ago in the gospel, go to them and tell them if you've got a problem with them. He told them. Now he is bringing the rest into the experience and he's saying, hey, This is what it's about. But you see how he did it? Again, it was the grace. He didn't attack him. Wow. He held up a mirror. He said, "My friends, look in here. This is what God is like." He didn't tell them what their problem was. He said, "Let me turn the tables and let me tell you what God is really like." Wow, they caught it immediately. Whew. That's what God is like. And look at what I'm like. And after 40 years in the scorching sun, hey, look at what I'm like. I'm really not like him at all. And I thought I was like him in all these things. Wow. That was so problematic for them. Seeing who I am in him. Hey, this is what it's been about. Every week I come, I haven't missed Mass on a Sunday, and look at how like you I am. Wow. We don't look alike at all. Well, at times. There are some exceptions, which is great. It's amazing. Make a note of that. There's one real exception when I'm really like him. Hold that thought. It is Jesus facing up to his critics, just as he had proposed 2 weeks ago. Don't go talking about them. Don't go attacking them. Speak very directly to them. That's it. He's doing it in practice. He is showing them what God is like. Not like them, not like us, not like me. It's about showing due respect to all individuals, dignity and honor and respect that's appropriate to all the sons and daughters of God, no matter how hard. It's about mercy. It's about love. It's about forgiveness, and it's not about justice. It's about the fact that there is only one reward and only one payment. It's totally unlike this, totally unlike our experience. For us, we have all sorts of rewards, so we'll give a trophy to everyone because you just got up out of bed and participate, or we'll give a trophy to the first 15 or first 50 or whatever. You know, we love it. We're really attached to it. But it's extraordinary. There's only one reward in the end. Only one. That's what it's about. And the kicker is, every one of us should be pulling for everybody else, because if we really know it and understand it and appreciate it, and if we're really into this, then we're pulling for everybody, because we don't want anybody to miss it either. Because we begin to understand how rich it is and what the treasure is, and we want them to have it too. And we show a flash of that in one instance. It's about a reality that I'm really not so much like him after all. And all of these 50, what age am I now, 60? And the rest of it too. And hey, all 65 years of it, and it's taken all of that. And hey, how much like you am I? That's kind of the bottom line thing. How do you want to be like me? How do you want to encounter me? What can I do for you? How much clearer can I make it for you? How much do you want the encounter? It's kind of frightening, really. And the kicker and the question then in the end, so are you angry? Are you jealous? Oh, yes, I am. You bet you. What are you jealous about? Well, I'm jealous and I'm angry because the image of God and the way we have presented him is really not the God that we believe in at all. I'm angry and jealous because, hey, a lot of the things that I was told really aren't true, And a lot of the images that were painted of God are not true either. You know, he's not out to get me. He's out to save me. He's out to win me. He's out to bring me. He's out to encounter and to invite me and to be Eucharisted. And he's out to celebrate me and to really make life meaningful for me and not some of these other ideologies. Yeah, sure, I'm angry. Sure, I'm jealous. But hey, I'm grateful too, because I'm sure grateful for learning this. And while I may not be that much like you, there's an instance when I am. And it's really difficult, and it's difficult to deal with. And you know what that instance is? A disaster. Show me a disaster in the world, and I have never heard anybody say, are they Christian? Are they white? Are they black? Do they belong to this group? Do they belong to that group? Do they work? Are they immigrants? Are they homosexual? What is their orientation in life, period? You gave $12,000, right, last week for Harvey. You didn't ask if they were white or black or if they were children or adults or if they were belonging to this group or that group. God, that's humiliating to realize that my very best comes to the fore in the face of adversity, not in the face of greatness. Wow. What a challenge. Where is the goodness all these other days? Why does the gospel have to find life just in the midst of adversity of great proportions? Why do I dig deep in the face of all of that and I can put it all aside and I can forget my judgmentalism and my criticism and I can find my very best in him? Because I have absolutely no control whatsoever. That's what the parable is about. Isn't that beautiful? But it's no wonder it makes me uncomfortable. Because I hate the idea that I can't do it all the time. And the truth is, of my own volition, I can't do it all of the time. But he couldn't be clearer. Let me tell you, my friends, he couldn't be clearer. Because there's only one way we can do that, and that is the gift of the Holy Spirit. Absolutely. I can try and try and try, and I can spend 40 years in the hot sun working and laboring and talking about all day, all night. But unless I accept the gift that he is giving me, then I'm not going to experience it. I'll be griping about the other people and chewing the fat and carrying on, but I won't experience. So, my friends, we are praying for these beautiful people. Look at them, what a lovely group. And open to receiving the enrichment and the power and the grace of the Holy Spirit. And hopefully we are open as well. You know, we talked about the traffic and everything last week. Man, did he give me opportunities during the week to pray. I mean, even someone's that I was not prepared for. I came early in the morning because I was going to the hospital, and I came here to pick up communion. I saw the crowds going into Northwest and the policemen there in the two lanes, and man, what a pileup. I said, I'm not going to take that on. So I'm going to slide around, go up 471. God was there ahead of me. He said, hey, what you going to do now? And how do you like this? And I didn't like it at all. And he said, now what are you going to pray about? And so I prayed. And then I moved on to I-20, and didn't they have a pile up there? And he said, now how you feel about it? What would you like to pray about now? And that's when he told me, and he told me what to pray about. He said, you know, this Christ life, it's very good, but hey, you all are very comfortable. You know, it's in your own group. When are you going to pass it out to the other people who really need? He said, how about praying that? And so I prayed that. What are we going to do? You expect me to pass it on to these other people out there? Interesting, I expect you. But I think together we will. That's what he wants us to do. Not just keep it a secret, but hey, are we really evangelizing, bringing the message to others? How are we doing it? And especially, how do we do it when we gather here to be Eucharisted week in, week out? Would it be believable? Would the person sitting next to you, my will, mom and dad, would they convince you? Person sitting next to you, do they convince you that, hey, this is something to behold, this is something real, God is really doing his work?